Welcome to Beargrass Christian Church Podcast. My name is Dee Decker, and I am the Director of Communications here at Beargrass. This week, we continue our Eyes to See series with a sermon from Dr. Bond titled Eyes to See Our Blessings, focusing on the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, 13 through 20. Here now is Dr. Lee Bond.
Thank you, Rob. And again, good morning. We have much to celebrate, much to be happy about today, so let's just kind of roll it out there. Happy February, happy Super Bowl Sunday, happy Scout Sunday, happy Groundhog Day, happy Epiphany, and the list goes on. But one of my favorite Scout stories is about a young Cub Scout. His family didn't attend much, but they were present on Scout Sunday, and the little guy was kind of interested in worship and what was going on, but didn't understand everything that was happening during the service until the end. At the end, the pastor offered the final blessing, and as she raised her hands to bless the church family, the little guy knew what that meant, and so he raised his hands too and shouted out, "Touchdown!" That did not happen at the 9 o'clock service today, and yeah, it may happen today. I don't know, but if the Spirit moves you, don't let it. Anyway, and don't forget about Groundhog Day today. That's another important celebration. When you see your shadow as you go out from church today, just remember you'll have 3 more weeks of Epiphany, and it's guaranteed, it looks like, today. But speaking of Epiphany, our focus has been on having eyes to see. And this is part of a broad theme for the entire year called 2020 Vision. And so far, we've been challenged to see things differently. You know, Rob had a great message there. We've been challenged to identify our temptations and last week to recognize God's invitations in our lives. And today's text is familiar. And I wonder if it is too familiar for many of us to even hear anymore. And so I hope God will reveal some new insights to all of us as we worship today. The words that Rob read for us from Matthew 5, you know, I wonder, are they really for us in this time, in this place? You know, how often do we hear the words, "Oh, I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed"? You know, this is a time of the year when people hold on to their trophies and their awards, and winners and famous people share acceptance speeches, and many of them will say the phrase, "Oh, I'm just so blessed to be here today." And their use of the phrase may not be flippant. It may be true. You know, actors and athletes certainly can have a deeply sincere feeling about being blessed in that moment, in that time, to get that award. But I saw an actor last week who impressed me because he was in an interview, and the person asking the questions was complimenting him on how well he was doing, and he about said the phrase, but he paused and caught himself, and he said, "I'm," and then he paused again, and he said, I'm grateful, I'm thankful." The concern with hashtag blessed is that it becomes too cliche and too easy for us. You know, in a moment of victory, it's normal. When life's going great, you know, it's normal. And maybe just a small dose of humility tossed in there makes it more palatable for all of us. But not much more is needed. You know, for those of us who sit at home and are the unselected and unfamous, it's easy for us to affirm and nod our heads in agreement, "Yep, you're blessed, all right." Anyway, Matthew tells us that Jesus has already been preaching, but the Sermon on the Mount is the first one with some content to it. The passage from Matthew 5 is known as the Beatitudes, as many of you know, and it's important to see that the Beatitudes are offered before any instruction is given. These are the introductory comments to Jesus' sermon, and the blessings are given without condition. They are not earned. God makes the first move, and then moral and ethical instructions will follow later. But God makes the first move in offering these blessings. I think we also need to think about Jesus's audience in this chapter. We, you know, if you've attended Rob and Susan's Bible study, they probably reminded you that all of those numbers and chapter headings and all of that in the Bible were added later. And so sometimes we pull out a text like the Beatitudes and we say, oh, that's great. Let's frame it and put it on the wall. And we pull it out of the text and we pull it out of context as well. Before he preaches, what's going on? Well, it says they brought to him all the sick and those with diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics. And what happened? Jesus cured them. And great crowds followed Jesus. And then he stands up on the mountainside and proclaims, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I invite you to imagine the faces on the people in the crowd at that time and place. I suspect they can't believe what they're hearing. They are LOLing about the crazy things that Jesus is saying. This is nuts. And yet, as you watch the sermon unfold, as you look at the faces, they're changing expressions. They realize, hey, this guy's serious. And so they listen more closely, perhaps. And what in the world is Jesus talking about? Many believe the first beatitude sets the tone for the rest of them, because blessing the poor goes against the greatest and most influential religion on earth, namely faith in success, faith in power, faith in status, position. And so Jesus' words are scandalous. They are radical and they are shocking. And they're particularly so in a culture like ours that is so obsessed with winning and so obsessed with success. You know, some people talk about posting the Ten Commandments in public places everywhere. I wonder, would the Beatitudes be a more appropriate option, especially for the faithful? Can you imagine posting them in the locker rooms of the Chiefs and 49ers as they prepare for the Super Bowl game? Boy, how would that go over? Can you imagine them hanging in the Pentagon or White House or on Wall Street or in the houses of government in Frankfurt and D.C.? And so perhaps it's time for us to close the book and leave today. These words must be for somebody else. He must be thinking about the lowest of the low. The Greek word used here is tokos, which means literally to cower or cringe under the weight of poverty. One scholar says tokos refers to the desperately poor, the beggars, the wretched, those who have no hope except the blessing of God. One scholar says tokos refers to the desperately poor. And we see that in many expressions in the life of the church. For instance, an Alcoholics Anonymous group meets in our church, and one of the phrases they use captures some of these important concepts. They will say things like this: we were powerless over our lives. We had to reach out to what? Some greater power than our own. That captures the essence of tokos. Be poor. And Jesus offers this blessing to people at the end of their hopeless road. And we think, okay, you know, what a perplexing paradox. See, he blesses those who aren't all that good at being spiritual, who have lost their way, who are needy. And we wonder, what are you talking about? But do you remember when he was criticized for hanging out with the down and out? Or hanging out with the disreputable folks like sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors? Do you recall what he said? He said, if you are well, if you are full, if you are saved and certain and content and happy and well off, you don't need a doctor. I'm here to help the sick. I'm here to help those who've lost their way. I'm here to help the sinners. And so what does that say about you and me and about the church? you know, let's face it, many of us are pretty good at this religious stuff. We are well versed in worship, and you know, we try to get here most Sundays. We don't need a doctor, do we? And yet, you and I know better, don't we? Even in the midst of all of our abundance, our blessings, our stuff, some of us are still empty and hurting and wanting and lost and alone. And if that's true, then these words can become good news for us. Jesus blesses us even in the midst of our failures, even in our inadequacies. So maybe these words are for us. Barbara Brown Taylor says the Beatitudes can be summed up with the phrase, "Blessed are the upside down." When Jesus speaks these words, he should have asked the folks to stand on their heads, because that's what he's doing. He's flipping the script here, right? Jesus is asking us to turn the known world upside down and see it from a completely different perspective. A man was diagnosed with a debilitating spinal tumor and received the horrible news that he would be confined to a wheelchair the rest of his life. And he said, "You know, the view from the wheelchair has changed me. For one thing, everybody looks down on me now. People stare down and talk to me like I was some kind of child." And he said, "I wish people would realize how helpful it is when they talk to someone in a wheelchair to get down on their level, to take a knee, to get face to face." But he also said, "I've learned a lot from this new point of view." He said, "I spend most of my time at parties and public gatherings now talking to children, because we're on the same level now. And they come up and look me in the eyes and carry on conversations, and they ask questions that only children can ask. Why are you in that wheelchair? Are you sick? Did you have an accident? Must be really hard on you." He says, these are the things that adults want to ask, but don't have the courage to do so. The world was shocked by the death of Kobe Bryant this past week. We have seen a wave of global grief for this superstar, and millions of words have been said, and millions more will continue to be said. But perhaps what really hits home for most of us is mentioning the inclusion of the loss of the other lives in that crash and the pain that comes with those kinds of losses. A superstar was lost, no doubt, but so was a father and a daughter and a husband and a sister and a brother and a wife, a friend, coach, colleague. And if an NBA MVP can go down, we are vulnerable too. Those of you who are in the Ecclesiastes Bible study, really all of us, know that there's a time for every matter under heaven. And we don't always know when it will be our time, do we? Another celebrity in the news this past week was Demi Lovato. Although Billie Eilish got a lot of props at the Grammys, most people agree that Demi was the one who knocked her song out of the park. If you haven't seen it, then I invite you to track it down on YouTube. But tearfully, she sang a song she wrote called "Anyone." And here are some of the lyrics. "I try to talk to my piano, I try to talk to my guitar, talk to my imagination, I confided in alcohol, I tried and tried and tried some more, told secrets till my voice was sore, tired of empty conversation, because no one hears me anymore. 100 million stories and 100 million songs, I feel stupid when I sing, nobody's listening to me, nobody's listening. I try to talk to shooting stars, but they always get it wrong. I feel stupid when I pray. So why am I praying anyway if nobody's listening? Anyone, please send me anyone. Lord, is there anyone? She wrote that song in 2018, a few days before a likely drug overdose that hospitalized her. She could have missed the Grammys. She could have missed the game tonight in Miami. She could have thrown away a bright future. And so these words are for us, and they're for us to share. If this is a list of people God blesses, are we willing to bless those whom God blesses, the down and out and the up and in? You know, Nadia Bolz-Weber has done some excellent work in helping us see the Beatitudes in new and relevant and meaningful ways. And she says maybe Jesus was simply blessing the ones around him that day who didn't otherwise receive a blessing. She says, imagine him standing among us and offering some new Beatitudes. And here are some samples from her list. Blessed are the doubters, the agnostics, and those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who can't take things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those no one notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the forgotten, the closeted. Blessed are the teens who hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are those without documentation or lobbyists. Blessed are the burned out social workers and the caregivers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. And blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. She says, I imagine Jesus standing here blessing us all because I believe that is God's nature. As if to say, you know, you all may admire strength and power, but I am blessing all human weakness and all human vulnerability. This Jesus whom we follow, this Jesus cried at the tomb of his friend, this Jesus turned the other cheek, this Jesus forgave those who killed him. And so Jesus is God's blessing to the weak in a world that admires the strong. He is. He is God's beatitude.
We would love to see you around the table at one of our weekend services. Our Saturday service is casual and meets in the chapel at 5:30 p.m. The Beargrass Praise Team leads us in worship during our Sunday 9 a.m. contemporary service. And at the 11 a.m. traditional service, the Beargrass Choir sings. All of our services include communion that is open to everyone. For more information on all of the activities happening at Beargrass, visit our website, www.beargrass.org. Until next time, peace.